The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 280. I am one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
Woke up this morning and got myself a band.
You say it too clearly, though. You know it's not that clear.
Yeah, that's
in the
true,
song.
That's true.
To my right, powerhouse, formerly known as Ryan Clements. That's a weird one. Okay. And making his long-awaited return to Podcast Beyond, the Tech Tower, Scott Lowe.
Well, it's good to be back. I feel like an idiot. I'm the only one wearing the headset here.
Yeah, we all got over the headset.
Take it off. You guys are
the
going
podcast
rogue.
Room is in complete disarray.
Take it
so
off. You guys are crazy.
Yeah, we learned our lesson.
Now we feel like we're talking in real life.
I know, right?
Now, this is Scott Lowe's first Podcast Beyond since 2007.
That can't be right.
Yeah. Is that true?
No.
Yeah. No way.
I don't think I even worked here. Anyway,
I like how we all had to think about it that way.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah, wait.
Well, that was
that's how gullible I am.
True enough.
Yeah. Welcome home.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Andrew Goldfarb's in some dumb meeting.
Yeah.
He told me beforehand that when it was time, text him and he could leave the meeting. And I texted him. He's like, I can't leave the meeting. So
when you texted him, I thought he was sitting in his desk.
Nope.
Oh, no, that was Colin Campbell.
Yeah. They look a lot alike, though.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same.
Both real British.
Yeah.
Both old. Just old as the day is long.
Andrew Goldfarb really is Kenneth Parcell. He's immortal. He's been around
it's
forever.
It's true.
Yeah.
PlayStation 4 events next week, Scott.
Yeah.
You're going alongside Colin Moriarty.
It is my distinct privilege to be working alongside the great Colin Moriarty.
Thank you.
You'll be
Thank
in New York City together. If you haven't caught some of the videos we've been putting up on IGN, here's how it's going to shake down on this February 20th. Well, first off, February 19th. IGN Social is hosting a Google Hangout with me to talk about this event, so you should go look that up. If you come to IGN, you can find the article, I'm sure. I don't know if that's... If you follow me on Twitter at GameOverGreggy, or go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/GameOverGreggy.
Yeah.
I have it all up there, and you can find it that way.
Yeah.
So anyways, then on the 20th, when the actual event happens, we have a New York City team of Colin Moriarty, who's listening to jams out of his iPhone pressed up against his ear now, like a psychopath. This is who we entrust to go to New York City for the PlayStation 4 event. Anyways, in New York
Here
City,
I am.
Colin Moriarty, Scott Lowe, Kez McDonald, a video team, world-class video team.
Yeah,
you guys will be Tyre on
Root.
The ground.
No, not anymore.
Changed since you were gone.
What?
Ty doesn't work anymore.
Oh,
he hasn't
man.
Been at DICE for the last 6 months.
Oh, man.
And then, so that's, of course, we already know the PlayStation conference starts on the 20th, that day. What's going to happen is an hour before that at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Damon and myself will kick off an hour-long live stream where we'll be leading into the event. We'll be talking to you guys hopefully a little bit, see what the event's like from your perspective. We will be talking to fans through Google Hangouts and Skype. We will be taking Twitter questions. We'll be answering things. We'll be running out of predictions. Then after an hour that expires, PlayStation stream starts. We'll still be covering that. We'll keep it down while that's happening. But somehow we're going to get you commentary, maybe through text on the screen or whatnot. You guys will be tweeting live from the show what you're seeing as it happens.
Correct. Yes.
Afterwards, we break into different models of Strike Forces. Damon and I will go back to live stream mode for an hour. We'll be talking about everything we just saw, doing live rewind theaters on trailers, if there are any. We don't even know what we're doing. So trailers, presentations, maybe just how USP walked on stage. That's what we'll talk about.
Yeah, I mean, that's the major thing is that we have these grandiose plans, but it's all contingent on what Sony shows us.
Right.
And I think from where Scott and I will be in New York, you know, I'm going to write some stuff before the show. We'll do some, Scott and I will do some videos and stuff like that before the show.
Yep.
And then afterwards, we're going to, you know, hopefully we'll have some interview opportunities. Scott and I will do some PlayStation conversations from the scene. Then I'm sure we're going to split off and start having to write. Hopefully Scott has some tech things that he can write about, some specs, some things we know about.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. and then hopefully I'll have some games and things that I can write about. And with the dynamics of Scott Lowe and Colin Moriarty tackling these two
and Kez McDonald
topics, and Keza and the video guys and everyone else tackling
video guys going to do jack shit.
Tackling these topics.
I was just going to sit there and
best we can, I think we're going to have quite the dynamic and, shall I say, fleshed out PlayStation.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? While they're doing their thing over in New York.
And let's be fair here, Colin. We're going to be drunk the entire time.
That's true.
Yeah, that's how you roll. That's how Sony events roll.
Totally incoherent.
Remember how great we were also wasted at E3? We're like, Wonder Book's amazing! Anyways, they'll be, as soon as the show ends, another hour live stream. Me and Damon will be taking expert commentary, doing the rewinds. If there's any to do, there'll be PlayStation conversations from New York. There'll be interviews from New York. And then as soon as I get done with the live stream, I'm grabbing Clements and Goldfarb coming in and doing an emergency podcast Beyond. That's why Beyond will be delayed next week. We're not going to do a show on Tuesday, just to do another show on Wednesday. And then
emergency seems like a odd term.
No, we already have the siren. We debuted the siren a couple weeks ago. So
it sounds so dire.
We've only done it twice.
That'll be a third time. Basically what I'm saying is you need to come to IGN.com and just stick around all the 20th.
Yeah. You'll see something good.
Right. But before we get to that, we have to start the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We're up to you're running up on the 30-second mark here.
The story behind that song is we'll tell it one day.
All
right. You haven't told it yet? That doesn't. That can't be right.
I don't think we have.
Have we told them on the show?
I don't think so, but I'm going to keep it to myself for now.
Right. I'm going
to
doodle you Superman symbol.
Okay. Greg, there are 14 items on the list.
That sounds preposterous.
So we'll play a game of I Doubt It or I Guarantee It.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't remember the rules of I Doubt It or I Guarantee It, we will be using two classic catchphrases. Of course, the Men's Warehouse is, I guarantee it. When Colin reads one of the goddamn too many news stories he put here, I will tell. If I say I guarantee it, that was worthy of the Roper Report. However, if I say I doubt it, which, of course, is from Bob's Discount Furniture over on the East Coast, that will be to signify that this was stupid and he's wasted our time.
Very well. I don't think you're going to find many of those on here at all.
I doubt it!
All right. I don't think you're going to. I don't think you're going to at all. Number one. These are in no particular order, by the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Goldfarb. Oh, my God.
Andrew Goldfarb.
We got you the headset over here. Oh, yeah, you should have come on time.
Oh, man.
There's no camera.
Not yet.
Oh, is the camera coming?
It's getting weird.
How early is the podcast, though?
Oh, my God.
The Roadhouse?
Sorry. The world's number one PlayStation podcast. Number one.
Oh, wait, did he miss the Roper Report?
No.
Will Killzone 4 be a PlayStation 4 launch title? A source tells VideoGamer.com yes. The source notes VideoGamer.com.
Sorry, I like that you can hear my breath in this headset really well.
Do that again.
I'm sure the listeners really like it.
And I'm throwing you out.
I'm sure the listeners really like it.
Indicates that Killzone 4, quote, Killzone 4 will release later this year on Sony's next generation PlayStation, Ellipsis. Comments suggest that Killzone 4 could be a launch window title, for the unannounced hardware, which is rumored to go on sale by the end of 2013.
I guarantee it. That's a good one. It's, of course, what we've been predicting forever. This is the problem right now, Colin, is that for the last, how long have we been alive?
A long time.
45
years. We'll say the last 6 years of our life,
right.
We've cared about PlayStation, talked about it for IGN. We've been making these predictions for 2 years now. Mm. Nobody's giving a shit. Now, all of a sudden, a week out, like all these other sites are like, wait a second. A source. Of course that's happening.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. Get the hell out of here.
The source is my brain.
Lucky I don't come over there and just smack you so goddamn hard.
You're looking at me.
Well, I gotta take it out on somebody. I can't just take it on the internet. What the fuck did you
do? Number two. Epic Games has closed down its newest studio, Impossible Games. Impossible Games was working on an iOS game, making this news somewhat irrelevant for Podcast Beyond, except one thing. Impossible Games was largely made up of ex-staffers from Big Huge Games, the team that made Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, a Podcast Beyond favorite. Our best goes out to all of those affected.
I would have said it, but it's I guarantee you, that's fine. They deserve the best. Reckoning was awesome. Sucks this didn't work out, huh?
Mm-hmm.
For a second there, we thought they were saved.
Seemed like an ill-timed business decision on Epic's part to have shut a studio down like 6 months after they opened it. That's a little
that's
weird.
Really
but I think those guys missed their target date for that iOS game, which is Infinity Blade?
Infinity Blade Dungeons was announced at the iPad 3 press conference. So not the most recent iPad, but the iPad before that.
So a year ago. It was almost a year ago.
Well, no, it's a little over a year ago, right?
The iPad 3 press conference sucked.
No, it did. I mean, so it was announced when Scott Lowe still worked at IGN the first time. That's how long it was.
Was it?
So yeah. Like years ago.
Oh, yeah, because I left in April, mm-hmm. and that was March.
Mm-hmm. Is it weird having a career track like a professional wrestler? You left WWE to go
and
to
WCW, body.
And then you came back. It was like, oh, my God, Scott Lowe's back! Scott's the champ! Yeah,
Someone
get security!
Even Shuhei asked about it at Dice Factory.
Yeah. You know what I was... I'm sorry, Colin. Mm-hmm. I know how important the Roper Report is and that it needs to soldier on. But you know what I was just thinking about recently that you will totally appreciate? What's is that? That old sound clip that Mark Ryan used to love of the guy that was announcing the professional hot dog eating competition.
Oh, right, yeah.
It was like the lost letters of a long forgotten language.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. That's an old joint.
I love that. That's an IGN original joke.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we didn't create it.
No, we didn't create
it. We just really enjoyed it. Okay. Originally.
Number three. Square Enix is teasing a new game called Murdered Soul Suspect. It will be released on PS3, 360, and PC, and we know literally nothing about it other than this cryptic statement from Square. Quote, Murdered Soul Suspect is an exciting new game from Square Enix, which challenges players to solve possibly the hardest game of all.
So it's the game of love.
I guess.
That's a huge I doubt it.
Really? A new game?
Oh, that we know nothing about.
A
hey,
new
there's
game.
A new game, everybody, coming from Square, the company we shit on every podcast. Get excited so that we can knock you off your fucking high horse in
a week. Fair enough.
Yeah. Also, Goldfarb, you look so weird in the Colin's
glasses. He's wearing
Colin's
glasses.
I have to keep my eyes so wide to make it not blur.
That's why you look so weird.
Yeah, you look.
Maybe you should take them off. I don't want you to get
probably,
sick.
Yeah, not
why
good
are you getting, why are you making the faces? Don't you have to?
I just want to be like Colin. I'm
you're
sorry.
Acting like Portillo. I don't even. Ah, oh, Jesus. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, we make no money off podcasts. So if you own the Jim Morrison estate, please don't come looking for your 25 cents.
Number four. Number four. Far Cry 3 has shipped 4.5 million copies so far, officially making it a success. Sales reflect digital copies sold as well as sold to consumer and sold to retailer numbers. Ubisoft's plans for a new Far Cry game are unknown, though the company CEO said that fans won't have to wait 4 more years for another sequel, a la the wait between Far Cry 2 and Far Cry 3.
Oh my 4.5 million, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And you said it is officially a success.
That's huge success for Far Cry?
But at 4.49 million, it was totally not a success.
We didn't know. We didn't have any numbers until the 4.5.
I just so
this is a funny word.
Again, keep in mind...
I'm texting Mark Ryan. I think we actually have to put ads on this one, so we might actually be making this.
This is like silver and gold all over again.
Silver and gold.
Oh, no.
It's worth noting that's not sold. It's sold in rather than sold through, which means...
Which is exactly what I said.
Way to pay attention.
Sales reflect digital copies sold as well as sold to consumer and sold to retailer.
Okay, but you say and. That's what I'm saying. Like
the wheels are off.
It doesn't mean.
God damn it.
Oh, we have to stop.
I give up.
Welcome to Podcast Beyond.
PlayStation's.
I don't know.
I was about to say PlayStation's official podcast. We've never called ourselves.
Okay,
that.
We're happy
to
announce
we are.
We've been purchased by Sony. Greg, is that I guarantee it? Yes.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay.
I mean, I was bored, but whatever. I'm glad it did well.
Number five.
I like Far Cry quite a bit.
Number
I'm
five.
About halfway through.
Assassin's Creed 3 has sold 12 million copies across all platforms so far. Crazier yet, Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation has sold 600,000 copies on PlayStation Vita, meaning it has a significant attach rate of around 1 in 8 Vitas. That's higher than the attach rate of PS3's best-selling game, Gran Turismo 5.
Wow.
Interesting.
I guarantee.
But that's only physical copies, correct?
I think it's everything.
Oh. Wow.
That's very impressive. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another Assassin's Creed. On Vita.
That'd be great.
Yeah, they have to, right? They already have the engine. It's Assassin's Creed. There's going to be another Assassin's Creed game every year.
That great
every
engine
platform
for
possible.
Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation. Powerhouse.
Hold it
engine.
Up to the light.
They'll get rid of that. That'll be gone.
Oh, really? It's only in there 9 times. Fucking engine's built on it. It's how you power the system.
The engine's built on it.
It's solar powered. The game needs sunlight.
Yeah, we
got to
put ads
on
this one.
Okay.
Number six. That's I just was laughing at the ad thing. Number six, Sony has revealed to IGN that MLB 13 The Show will not utilize cross-buy.
Boo.
Gamers will have to buy the PS3 and Vita copies of the game separately, though it's possible that various retailers will have special perks for gamers who want to buy both versions together.
Yeah, Amazon's doing it where you get $20 off. I think Best Buy might be too, where if you buy them together. So, whatever. It's weird, though, because it's another one of those games, right, that it's the perfect idea that it already does cross-save with your season going on the road.
It's cross-buy is so weird. I mean, I've fucked up twice now where I was I was away on a trip and I didn't have my PS3 in front of me, so I bought the game on Vita and I just got screwed and didn't get the PS3 version.
Why are you so stupid?
Well, it's more that I'm impatient.
Now you can use the PlayStation Network web store. So you log in there,
that's a really
buy
good
your
point.
PS3 version there, and get
but
the
that's the Sony Entertainment Network. Sen.
The Sen store. Sen?
Sen.
Sen?
What's up, Sen?
Scott has something to send. No, those are just like the tiny little details that I really hope are ironed out with the next generation of consoles, is like really kind of unifying that kind of stuff where you can just buy one and it just knows to like give you the other.
Yeah, but that would require Sony to learn. They've never been good at that. it's what we go back to on why Xbox runs circles around it online, right? That Xbox, like, hey, everybody, here's what your game has to do, and here's how it's got to work. And Sony for PS3 is like, whatever. You want to put voice chat in it? Go ahead. You don't.
Do what feels right. Yeah.
Do what feels right.
Is that a guarantee? It?
Yeah, that's a no guarantee.
Number seven, Activision has revealed that Skylanders is not surprisingly a ridiculous success. At Toy Fair 2013, the company revealed that over 100 million Skylanders action figures have been sold so far. A Skylander toy costs at least $10. Do the math and be impressed.
Do the math.
That's what it said in their press release. Well, do the math.
You do
and
the
be
math.
Impressed.
Well, they can't. Well, they revealed what it was, a $1 billion franchise with the game. $10 per figure is the minimum, so we wouldn't know how many of the figures they sold at maybe $15 or $20. So I can't do the math, Greg, because I don't have all of the data.
It's like a word problem where trains are leaving from different stations. God damn it. We are repeating the mistakes of the past. Do you remember the Mr. T soundboard? We haven't come to episode 280 to repeat the mistakes of episode 80.
What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Really?
How is this mistake like the mistake of the Mr. T soundboard?
People liked it in the beginning, and then I got really annoying.
Oh, I don't care.
No way.
It's not like that?
Way funnier.
This is how it went with Mr. T. Everyone thought it was
we were
great.
All like, this, so, this is the funniest thing we've
everyone
ever done.
Everyone in the room with, we're getting off.
I would say for my days as a Beyond fan, Silver and Gold was my favorite moment ever. And this is like that.
Ever.
No, well. Better than I,
we did way better episode.
Time.
Oh my God.
That was a good episode.
Yeah.
Is that an I guarantee it or I doubt it?
I mean, I think we have different opinions of what we need to get through on the Roper Report. I mean, it's interesting news.
Yes.
Does it need to be on the PlayStation podcast?
Sure.
Do you think the majority of our fans right now are like, yeah, Skylanders news?
Do you think the majority of our fans play any of these games?
Yeah.
Except for maybe the biggest first party games? You're saying a majority of our fans
played Far Cry 3?
I bet you a majority of our fans will play Murdered Soul Suspect. I'll put it I doubt it because I know you want to say it.
Because they have to solve the biggest riddle.
It's interesting. I'm interested.
Let's just wrap it up.
Let's take us home.
Gladly.
Number eight. Activision has also revealed, not surprisingly again, that a new Call of Duty game is on target for release in 2013. They revealed literally no other details. Black Ops 2, the most recent Call of Duty game, made $1 billion in 2 weeks. It remains to be seen if the new Call of Duty game could possibly do those numbers, especially if it's a next-gen game. My bet would be that the game is both current and next-gen.
Yeah, that makes sense. They want to sell it on as many platforms as possible.
And they did that with Call of Duty on 316 and Xbox.
Is it, I doubt it.
Yeah. It's Call of Duty, and it can be, I guarantee it as well. But again, it's just, listen, you know, oh man, there's a new Madden coming.
All right, now we're going to...
Ooh, an NCAA has been announced.
I like quiet, suggestive Clement.
Now we're getting into the real meat of the PlayStation.
Okay, here we go. Now here come the hits.
Ratchet and Clank, number nine. Ratchet and Clank Full Frontal Assault. Known as Q-Force in Europe, has once again been delayed on PlayStation Vita, originally slated to come out alongside the PS3 version in November and then pushed to January. The game has again been delayed to the nebulous spring 2013 timeframe. Insomniac isn't handling the Vita version, and outside developer Tin Giant is. Something tells me Insomniac won't be working with them again.
I think this is the Bioshock Infinite of Ratchet and Clank.
Sure. That's an I guarantee it. But I just love how you deflect it all the time. You're always like, Insomniac's never made a bad game. And everyone's like, we don't like that, Ratchet. Like, and here you're all like, well, they won't work with them again. They didn't deport. The source material wasn't very good.
I didn't play the game. I didn't say anything. You're projecting.
friend. No, I've heard you.
Say your piece.
So much.
I've already said it. I've said my piece.
That I think Insomniac does only good games.
You're deflecting. You always you conveniently forget this one whenever it comes up. Oh, God! Dude.
I didn't do that one. You can't get mad for that.
You probably had it all queued up, ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely did. Yeah, I haven't played. I don't know when. I was, you know, with Full Frontal Assault, Greg or Clements and I, when we were at Comic Con, played it.
Yeah.
And I really thought it was fun. Yeah. But people do have problems with the game, and I assumed that I would play it when it came to Vita because I can play it on the train or whatever. I'm not going to sit down on my TV and play that game.
That's just back to the whole, again, we were talking about a second ago about, you know, trying to iron out these kinks, you know, figure out how to do this. That was the one where they had it on the box, said, hey, this is cross-buy. You buy it here, you download the Vita version, and you open that box up and it had nothing in the original printing saying, oh, yeah, sorry, this game's delayed on Vita. And, like, that was, like, God damn it, Sony.
Do you remember how angry you got at me when I asked about PlayStation All-Stars?
No.
I was working at The Verge, and I was like, which version should I buy? Should I get the PlayStation 1? Do I still get it both ways? He's like, why the fuck wouldn't you? And you got, like, super angry at me, and I was like, oh.
I don't think it was in an aim?
Yeah.
I was probably just giving you shit. You're probably giving me shit. Angry.
But just goes to show
Is that the day Greg broke all the bottles and just started screaming?
Why the fuck wouldn't you? Number 10. A rumor from VG247 indicates that British studio Sumo Digital is currently working on Little Big Planet 3. Their source states that the game has been in development for, quote, well over a year, end quote. It's unclear, assuming the rumor is true, if it's current gen or next gen. I assume it's a PS4 game. What do you think of that?
I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you fucking led with the strong stuff, like Skylanders sales that
might
not have
been. I said it's in no order.
The Square game that we know nothing about.
Just to reiterate, Murdered Soul Suspect is an exciting new game from Square Enix, which challenges players to solve possibly the hardest game of all.
It's either chess or love.
So I think people are misinterpreting this. So Sumo did Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the overwhelming success of Little Big Planet Karting, this is obviously Little Big Planet Karting 2.
Oh, okay. This is going to be the Hot Potato franchise. That kind of, see what you can do with it. Lord knows we're out of ideas.
I think we should invite the Beyond community to tell us what the hardest game of all is.
Okay.
Just come up with the idea for that.
Yeah, email beyond@ign.com.
Yeah, well, we can do it live. I'm going to tweet. Hey, Beyond fans, what's the hardest game of all?
Right, what's the exact phrasing called?
It's Murdered Soul Suspect is an exciting new game from Square Enix, which challenges players to solve possibly the hardest game of all.
Possibly
the hardest game of all.
Okay.
Number 11. Rayman Legends and Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge, both Wii U exclusives, are no longer Wii U exclusives. Both games will be coming to PlayStation 3 later this year.
Bum, bum, bum.
I guarantee it. That's an interesting one for the future of Nintendo, right?
Oh, my
right?
God. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's just exciting to be able to play Rayman again.
Is it?
The stuff. By the way, the just so many interesting things surrounded or maybe even came out of, but not necessarily came out of DICE, about Nintendo.
Yep.
And how that company might be in a little bit of trouble with the Wii U.
Although I published an interview with Genova Chen today where he talked about the Wii U a little bit. So who knows if they'll be taking a journey.
They
will not.
They won't.
It's Sony owns the rights to that.
Yeah. No, but I mean,
the word journey.
It doesn't alarm me or anything. I don't worry about the Wii U. It's exactly what even with the last Wii, it's what every Nintendo console is, where it's the exclusive machine where you buy it to play Mario and play Zelda and do all these things that Nintendo does with it. I don't buy it thinking I'm going to play Assassin's Creed. That's why it's like, games will come in and you'll hear Brian Altanos to be like, oh man, you got the Wii U copy? I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You're just doing that to be annoying.
But here's the question
about
that.
What's that question, boy?
What is the hardest game of all?
Possibly.
Possibly the hardest game of all. Possibly. Is that, can Nintendo possibly keep doing this where it's just like, come play our old IP over and over again and over and over again? Because for the first time, I'm not interested, and no, people aren't buying it. I mean, that's the thing, is that there is a Mario launch game for the first time since N64, you know, and
but
people aren't buying it.
Yeah, yeah, but it's dumb Mario, like you've already played.
That's not the dumb Mario. To a lot of people, Mario Galaxy, fantastic,
best
game of that year in 2007. That's the dumb Mario to some people. If you see like an OG Nintendo fan in the store, that's the Mario they want, I would say. is but the,
you can't
the
launch a system with a game that looks like the Super Mario Wii, the new Super Mario Brothers Wii. It looks like the exact same game.
It certainly is.
That challenge mode looks pretty dope, actually.
No. Graphically, it does look better. The problem is, brand confusion-wise, dude, it came out like a month after the 3DS version, and like, I'm so sick of new Super Mario Brothers games. This isn't the place to have this conversation, but I'm just saying, like, there have been so many at this point. I hope we never see another one. I'm not even crazy about it. I love the Wind Waker, but I don't want another Wind Waker remake. Like, give me a new experience. I agree with Colin. Like, I want, I want a Zelda that's unlike any other Zelda. Give me a fucking, let Retro do, like, a Skyrim-style Zelda or something. That would be awesome.
I just, to me, it's, a few people have been saying online, I've been reading a lot of things, and people are saying, like, the Mario and the Zelda and all that stuff, that's fine, but people want a new Mario and a new Zelda, and they don't mean, like, a new Mario game. They want a new IP that means something, you know?
Yep.
And I love Nintendo. Like, from way back, I love that, I love those games, and with the Wii, I'm just like, I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. And the Wii U is just more of the same, and so I think the numbers reflect that. The numbers out of the UK in January were horrifying. Horrifying. It was like 36,000 software units sold in the UK, including the game that the system comes with. You know, that's bad, bad, bad news. The systems just came out in Europe. You know, so, and they have no games. There's just no games. And so I think a lot of people have been making, a lot of people are like, this is like the GameCube. And I was like, I hope it's like the GameCube because the GameCube was great. But a lot of people were saying that this is more like the Dreamcast, that, there might be real trouble for the system in a couple of years that, there are no games for it, and so it just peters out.
Yeah.
The thing is that Nintendo has a lot of money. Yeah. So
I think, what the bigger problem with Nintendo is, and it actually there's like multiple huge problems with the Nintendo, but the biggest thing is that Rich George for one. But no, if you look at the way the rumors are going for the next gen consoles, you got like the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 4 or 720 and the PlayStation 4, like really look shaping up to be like the center of your entertainment center. Like, it's not a games platform anymore. These are entertainment boxes. The Wii U has an element of that, but it's really stunted. Like they have TV, which is kind of this like weird, like, kind of amalgamation of things, but like it's not really all that great and robust at the moment. So like they're really kind of like dabbling in the actual like media elements beyond that. So
beyond
I forgot about that element of this podcast.
And I quit again.
But no, I mean it's I think Nintendo is really taking too slow of a stance on that, or kind of a push on that, and that is going to be their downfall more than anything. It's just like not only the game side of thing, but the fact that they're just completely ignoring like this like connected future that like everything is pushing towards.
Beyond listeners, we asked you what's the hardest game of all. We got some possibly. Response. Possibly the hardest game of all. Brian McHenry tweets the game of life. Steven Strom tweets, possibly some Japanese bullet hell shooter no one has ever heard of. Christian tweets, Rayman fans are pissed off. I don't know what that means.
Did anyone say murdered Soul Sacrifice or Soul Suspect?
Battletoads getting tossed around a lot.
Battletoads is hard.
That's Spencer Kennedy says Winnie the Pooh, home run derby.
Billy Shibley says the game of love, Greg. The game of love.
Aww.
Well, some good answers right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I throw in like this actually late breaking subject to this discussion?
Yes.
Just now at the D Dive Into Media event, which is an event put on by the publication All Things D, the head of Microsoft's interactive entertainment business took a pretty sharp shot at Sony when asking about their next gen stuff. So he said, "All I'll say about our current and future investment is that we're about doing things big and premium. Other people will try to do some lower end things, but what we will do is big and beautiful."
It's interesting. Yeah, because Sony's always been known for those low end cheap electronics.
Taking a shot at boutique games interesting people play, like Journey.
Yeah.
My company Swan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So this is the head of Microsoft's interactive entertainment business.
Cool. I'm interested to see what they do with that new Xbox 720 Durango.
You gonna buy one?
Thing.
Wait and see.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait and see. I'm not making any promises on anything right now, except for I'll buy the new PlayStation because that's what we cover. By the way, the most interesting thing, just concerning that Nintendo conversation, which I thought was really fascinating, was Mario Wyans, I think his name is. He's the guy from She that made Shatter. And some other games, was the guy that posted, I think on NeoGAF, about how he there was like a lot of anecdotal evidence that he was seeing in conversations he was having with people where everyone was like canceling their Wii U games. Like that there wasn't a lot of conversation about the new Wii U games. And the other thing he said was that he talked to a developer or a publisher that expected to sell millions of copies of a Wii U game, like a preset, a premium, like a great Wii U game, and it sold tens of thousands of copies. So I don't know, man. I'm super interested to see like what Nintendo does about all this. And they're already selling Wii U at a loss, so they can't possibly cut the price.
I wonder if that means Zombie U.
It could be. Could be. Number 12.
If you didn't buy Zombie, you just didn't get it. All right? It's supposed to be like that. God.
It's supposed to be sterile looking and boring. I watch
these fucking critics in their goddamn ivory towers. They don't know anything about what I want out of my Zombie
game. How
much
EA pay you for that one? Yeah. Huh?
I watched Greg play that game for like a while. Like he played it before Wii U came out. And I was like, what? I was kept making fun of that because it was making the same noise. Like the guy was like punching or hitting. And
he's
using
the cricket bat.
I'm like, this game looks terrible. Like, I don't know. I haven't played it. It could be a fantastic game for all I know. I don't know. But I'm like, this game looks awful. I don't understand why this game exists. It looks like it's 10 years old. Number 12. Japanese newspaper Asahi Shimbun. Am I saying that right?
Wow.
I'd have to look, but it sounds fine.
One of the country's biggest newspapers indicated in a story that the PlayStation 4 will cost over 40,000 yen or above $430. This indicates that the PS4 may launch stateside at a $400 price point.
$399.
I say that because...
U.S. American dollars.
The PlayStation 3 launched at 60,000 yen... which is like $650 or so, and they brought that down to $600 in the States. So you would assume, and electronics and games generally do cost more in Japan, and almost everywhere else in the world, actually. So I think that it's safe to assume, if this rumor is true, that the PS4 will cost $399.
$399?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what you were predicting anyway?
Yes. There's a whole lot of column predictions coming true, I think. On February 20th in New York City. New York.
But
does Last of Us come out next month?
No. May.
May, that's right. May 5th.
You're close.
Or 15th.
You were close.
May.
You're in the right 7th. Half of the year.
Well, I'm still wrong, but I'm close. Oh, May 15th was Diablo.
But effectively, that price guess would put them in the red for every console sold, though, right?
Sure. Probably. I think they have to.
I mean, I feel like they have to, but it could also be their downfall. I mean, they're already struggling to recover.
Yeah, but they make their money on software, so I think they have to at least make it. It's like a gambit.
Yeah,
it's true.
Don't touch me. I think if they did that with PS3, they would have been in a lot better position now.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
Mm. I guarantee it on that. Yes.
Yeah.
Number 13, Media Molecule and Evolution Studios, the Sony-owned developers behind Little Big Planet and MotorStorm, respectively, are both teasing new projects. On Twitter, Evolution employees have been tweeting little hints, while Media Molecule's website has a question mark in its list of games with a link to a strange British song called "It's a Mystery" by Toya.
They're playing games on there.
I listened to that song and laughed really hard, by the way.
Good. I guarantee
the end of the story.
Another no-brainer these people are working on. The real question is Evolution's game going to be another MotorStorm? Is it going to be different racing? Is it going to be Wipeout?
Yeah, there's interesting rumors about Evolution going around right now about how they might have absorbed some quality talent from studios like Bizarre in the UK, and that they're working on a racing, which isn't surprising. Evolution is a racing studio. But I just don't understand. You know, Greg makes a good point in our PlayStation conversation today that Gran Turismo 6 is not going to be ready probably for a launch, and it probably won't be ready for 17 years.
Yep.
So... Sony needs a racing game, and it could launch with a MotorStorm game, which would be huge because PS3 launched with MotorStorm 2, didn't it?
Well, especially since 720 will launch with
the original MotorStorm.
Yeah, MotorStorm.
Yeah.
There will be a new Forza game on the new Microsoft console, so Sony's going to want a racing game.
Let's get a new Carmageddon in there.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Vigilante 8.
Driver San Francisco 2.
Oh, I love Vigilante 8. Man, that game was awesome. What was the second one called? Like Vigilante
8? Vigilante 9.
No.
Vigilante 8-2.
Nope.
Lightning Return.
Number 14. This is the last one. Beginning on Tuesday, February 12th, North American gamers will get the following new PlayStation Plus perks. Closure is free. Critter Crunch, great game, is 80% off. Alien Breed is 20% off. Derek the Death Finn is 50% off. And NHL 13 is 20% off. European gamers, I haven't forgotten about you.
No, pop, pop.
Get 20% off all Alien Breed games, 25% off Anomaly Earth, Warzone Earth. F1 Race Stars is free. F1 Race Stars DLC is 10% off. Quantum Conundrum is free. Sleeping Dogs is free. And Sleeping Dogs DLC is 15% off.
Nice!
Sleeping Dogs free is awesome.
I love Pop Pop isn't even a thing, right?
Yeah, it is. Pretty sure.
Yep. Pop, pop. We have a bunch of the British people are downstairs, and they just keep saying it all the
time. Let's please, yeah. They're just walking around. Pop, 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 pop.
We're trying to work, you guys.
Well, I'm not going
to
do it.
You sure you are? Why open your phone there?
I got excited about you.
That's 12-2 for okay, iData, I guarantee it.
That's pretty good.
A couple tiny things.
Sure.
We had some talks at DICE with Randy Pitchford and Nova Chen. Those articles are on IGN.com. They hinted some interesting things for PlayStation and beyond.
Like what?
Beyond.
Genova 10 addressed the idea of, I think I said 10 instead of Chen that time. But
it's fine. He's not listening.
Genova 10.
It's
the next action series.
Suda 51's like, fuck.
I asked him a little bit about if he thought Flower Journey could come to Vita. I talked to him about where the next game, like what platforms it'll be on, when it'll be announced. Pitchford,
what are the answers?
You got to go read.
He's teasing us.
You got to go to IGN and read.
Can't you sum it up in like 140 characters?
Probably not.
You would count the characters you're saying?
And then Randy Pitchford talked a little bit about Furious 4, what it's going to be now, and Brothers in Arms is the new game's coming. So there was all that. Colin, what do you think?
What do I think about what?
I was hoping you would play the song.
No, I can't do it. Every time I hear my phone, Greg looks at me.
I'm ready.
Critical mass, yeah.
All right. That's it for the Roper Report.
Every time you go to your phone, I freak out. But every time I go to the store, I freak out because I don't know what games are going to be on the shelf.
Oh,
nice.
Wow. If I needed to know what games are on the shelf, where could I go?
The official list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Hands on the road! It's also cute that you're like a grandmother. There you go. Now you understand how the microphone and speaker work.
That was your best.
I didn't want to put it right in. You get feedback.
Sure you do. I don't think you understand feedback either, buddy.
Okay. All right. Okay.
The whole thing. Except for when he's been playing the music, has been horrible feedback.
Greg, that was your best transition of all time.
Thank you.
That was a good one.
What about the one where I laughed maniacally talking about like some dude's girlfriend dying or whatever?
That was
everybody's
number two.
Like, what are you doing? And then I finally got to the point.
I have no idea what that means, but it sounds awful.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
This kid wrote in
for
a transition to the list. And it was a serious email of like, you know, my girlfriend was in this horrible car accident. She was killed by a drunk driver and blah, blah, blah. But then it got to the punchline of he just wanted – he had no girlfriend. No girlfriend died. It was just that he wanted me to intro the list. But I thought it was so funny that I was laughing while reading the horrible part. So like I couldn't get up. I'm just like, his girlfriend's dead. It's like, Jesus.
What's happening?
At retail, Aliens Colonial Marines comes out.
I hear good things.
Our review's going up soonish, right?
Yeah.
I think at the...
Is midnight?
The end of the day.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 1 a.m., but I'm not entirely positive.
Yeah, that was the last one.
Because everybody's reading at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Hold tight for that review. I don't know what that review is going to say.
I mean, it's 5 o'clock. I doubt this gets up on Monday.
What?
Well, you're going to risk it if you say anything.
Well, then we just make sure it doesn't get up on Monday. Early reports are don't buy Alien Colonial. To our credit, none of us have played it.
Yeah.
We watched Ryan McCaffrey play it, though.
I played it at an event, and it was whatever.
Were you sucked in the experience?
Oh, yeah.
Were you like, Newt?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
I love that you keep bringing up Newt.
I think it was the first time I've even talked about this game.
No, we were so
no? Okay. I don't remember much of Saturday
over,
night.
Game over, man. Game over.
On PlayStation Network, Persona 4 Arena is available digitally. Alien Breed, Everybody Dance, Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's Decade Duels Plus.
What?
Yes!
Wow.
Is that really? Is that real?
Yeah, that's a game.
Wow.
That's a game.
On Vita, all downloadable games, Equilibrium, which is an exclusive, Alien Breed, which is a cross-buy game with PSN, and Rocket Bird's Hard-Boiled Chicken, which is a funny little side-scrolling action game that I reviewed on PSN last year. I will copy that over at some point this week. If it's anything like the PSN version, it's fun and stupid.
All right.
How do you feel about the fact that in the past you might have been asked to review something like Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's Double Dash Diner?
I only would have been asked maybe in my first days.
Double Dash Diner.
First days. In the first stage.
You
when
are
the
no such
air
legend.
Was cold and dark.
That game is no such
legend. We were asked many things.
We were asked many things, they said.
PS2 classics. Rebel Raiders Operation Nighthawk, which I think is a flight sim.
Oh my god.
And Twisted Metal Black, which was available only to people that bought the original, or the Twisted Metal reboot, rather. PS1 classics. Twisted Metal.
You know, the sad thing is, I was really trying to sing Paint It Black, and I couldn't think of the lyrics. Then they finally...
I see a red door and I want it painted black.
Yeah, there it is.
If you own the Rolling Stones estate, that's where you come. Those are some interesting games that are coming. Hey, we left it off the Roper Report. It's just funny because you're never happy. And so, like, it's so foreign to see you, like, trying not to smile.
Wait for it.
Okay, you're gonna have to stop in like 5 seconds.
Right. I don't think anybody
can't do anything.
Nobody's
about
gonna
it.
Come after us.
The Rolling Stones actually just contacted us.
This is the better version. This is Vanessa Carlton.
I don't think those words were ever uttered by anyone else.
Let's jump into a video part.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's rough.
God. All right. Next week on the PlayStation Network, we'll be talking about a lot of stuff. But remember, Urban Trial HD comes out. I'm excited for that. The Trials HD knockoff.
Are you going to review that?
I like to, yeah. I have codes that should start working tomorrow, I believe.
Cool.
But I'll be off-site. Here comes some more tunes. Oh, okay.
All right, that's it.
Man, our listeners love us today, huh? Sorry, everyone. We're just having a good time. We're laughing. We're joking.
Kevin writes into beyond@ign.com.
Hey, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys.
What's up, Kev?
What is the one thing Sony needs to ace to increase their chances of being top dog? Marketing, games, price, worldwide launch, features, or PSN?
Price. All of the above?
All of the above.
They need to be first. Honestly, I think it comes down to that for them now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think obviously all that other stuff too, and it's not like just because they're first they'll suddenly be more successful, but it'll help. So I think they need to be out first.
Sure. That's a big part of it. I would say, I mean, like, we always talk about it. I don't understand what's going to come out at either Microsoft or PS4 announcements here and make it, this is the machine you have to buy now, now. I don't understand what they're going
to
say.
No, I agree. This is just to say, hey, you can finally talk about this now. These are consoles that exist. Because I don't think you can compel someone in a 30-minute press conference to buy your system unless you can talk price and release date, and I don't think they're going to do that.
Mm. I'd be surprised on that. Not on the release date, probably. Well, I don't even know. I don't know. It's got to be a feature. What features are making me want to buy this? It can't be that it plays Netflix. I have that already. The graphics look really good. My games look really good right now.
I think that with the announce, they could set a cadence for goodwill by saying things like PlayStation Network will remain free. Which I think it will. I think that's totally the obvious model. I've been saying that for years. I'd be really surprised if like the pay model for online services in consoles becomes the dominant. Like for instance, Steam is free.
Yeah.
You know?
Get your clients and people.
Right. So I think that will be a no-brainer for them to say. And I think I really don't think that this is going to be a sterile 5-minute presentation for PS4. I think that they're going to talk about PS3 and Vita mostly.
Yeah.
But that, especially Vita. But I think that if they said something like, we bought Gaikai. We haven't been very loud about it. Gaikai's technology is going to let you play PS4 games on your Vita. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be insane.
Not gonna
and happen. Totally and totally possible, right?
Yeah.
Technologically totally possible, because as long as the processing is done on the PS4, you can just stream it to the Vita and that'd be fine, right?
Well, I mean, theoretically it wouldn't be on the PS4 either. It would be in a remote server and you can access it anywhere.
So it could be, but it could be played on something that wasn't as powerful as the game.
Yeah, you could play it from your, Sony mobile, phone, or, PlayStation mobile enabled phone, theoretically. So I think, to jump off of that in terms of harkening back to the other point I was making about really kind of honing this concept of it's not just a games console. Like, it's something Microsoft has done really, really well, and it's been hugely successful for them. They've, I know so many people who aren't gamers who own Xboxes just because they're like a really good media hub, and they dabble in games here and there, but they like having that option. But the Xbox, first and foremost to them, is like an entertainment platform. And Sony's always been about honing and kind of paying service to the hardcore, but like that is not going to make them a profitable company or make that console a huge success, like market share wise.
And we've talked about that on here before. That was part of why PS2 was so successful was because people bought it for a DVD player.
Yeah.
And I don't think that many people bought PS3 for a Blu-ray player. Like, I don't think that really carried over.
Right, because it was ahead of its time in terms of the platform. But people are like, this is the cheapest Blu-ray player on the market. And like, it's ridiculously expensive. It was the same thing, right? There's no reason to upgrade. My DVDs look fine. Yeah. Why would I want to jump to this new format? You have to prove it or give these rock-bottom prices people can jump right
in. Well, and Blu-ray is still struggling. I mean, like, it's the dominant hard disk format, but you like more and more it's streaming, like it was a combination of people weren't ready to give up on DVD and, you know, the kind of introduction of more streaming stuff, so like it's absolutely had no chance. And I mean, it will continue to stick around because it's the only disk format that can, you know, really kind of hold those size of games. And like, yeah, sure, like movies will still be distributed that way, but you know, more and more it's just gonna be all about streaming.
That's
a good point,
which means the PlayStation Network has to step it up.
Yeah,
the fucking PlayStation Store can't be the travesty it is right now.
It is going to be the travesty it is right now.
By the time PlayStation 4 comes out, it can't be that if they want to not be a fucking joke.
Yeah, I think that they have to fix that stuff. But I think, I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't think that they're going to tip too much of their hand. I don't think they're going to say, like, this is when it's coming out and this is what it costs. I think that would be a huge blunder because there are still three huge games on the PS3 that people are, you know, are going to be waiting for, and you don't want to kind of undercut people buying those consoles. And I'm not really too super convinced PS4 is going to be backwards compatible either. So,
well, I also think like the stuff that Kaz said when he was like, "Oh, we're going to let Microsoft go first," it seems to be more about like specs and stuff and specific things than about the actual announcement. Because like he understands how this works. I think I wasn't on this episode, but I think you guys talked about it. He obviously gets it that like Microsoft can't completely re-engineer their console that's been in development for years just because Sony announces first,
right?
But they can't change the release date on a fucking whim. Like, I mean, they're not going to necessarily make it earlier because they have production pipelines, they have, you know, deadlines to meet and all of that, but, you know, a matter of a week to be first, I mean, that shit can happen. Who knows?
Well, and they can also, you know, just the creative of their marketing, like, initiatives, like, you know, if Sony pits, you know, one specific angle about the new console, like, Microsoft can come up with a counter and say,
yeah,
like,
it's like,
know,
a presidential election. It's like attack ads. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that, you know, I didn't expect Sony would go first because I didn't think they had to, as long as they came out first. And a lot of evidence, not, I don't want to say evidence, but rumors are that Xbox will be out first. And that, you know, that could be out as soon as, I guess, September.
Yeah.
And that if Microsoft announces before GDC or around GDC, which, you know, is possible, that Sony will only have less than a month of prime time before they're totally eclipsed and then they have to fight. So in that sense, it makes it a little weird to me that Sony didn't lay back, focus more on the production of the console, and then wait for Microsoft to tip their hand regardless. What it tells me is that Sony's either way confident in the product or that they're not confident in, like, at all in the product, you know, in that. And what I mean by that is, I mean, that's obvious, but it's not, in the sense that they're so confident in Orbis that in PS4 that they're like, it doesn't matter if we go first or second, or that they're afraid that if Xbox goes first that PS4 will look good compared to it, and if they come out second you want it to be better. I still hope that, you know, Sony understands that it must be a multimedia machine like Scott's talking about, but that it can cater to gamers a lot better than the Xbox can, if they focus on that message. And they should have been doing that for a long time. And they haven't been. That, you know, having things like Netflix is great. Having NHL, I watch every hockey game on my PS3, it's great, but you know, they have to focus on the fact that they have a bunch of exclusives and games that you care about, and differentiate it. Because if they don't differentiate it from Xbox, the next Xbox, and they come out second, I don't know if it's going to be a good scene for them, to be honest.
I mean, what's always confounded me about Sony, and I think I've said this before, maybe even on this podcast, is like,
how does the Wonder Book work?
What is the hardest game of all? but no, I think what has always kind of blown my mind about Sony is that, like, unlike anyone else in this industry, they have every aspect of the market cornered. They've got content through game studios. They have content through movie studios. They have content, you know, distribution platforms through their, you know, Sony Electronics wing. And, like, you know, they have displays and every aspect of the industry totally covered. But because they're just such a behemoth of a company that they don't really communicate and they don't really do, like, they don't make it one streamlined kind of experience for the user. Like, it's all very fragmented and weird. And Kaz, that's, like, that's his big thing. Like, one Sony. It's all the same thing. And that's, you know, he's been kicking ass. Like, it sounds like, you know, like, the, you know, bringing Sony Mobile into the fold, taking it away from Sony Ericsson, buying them back, you know, like, doing PlayStation Mobile, and then, you know, kind of doing the stuff that he's been doing with the Sony Electronics, where they're, like, kind of, like, you know, making their TVs cheaper and trying to, like, salvage that market for themselves. Like, he's trying to bring it all together, but, like, it is a lot to do. And the big question is, has the PlayStation 4 been influenced by that initiative? He's only been on for, you know, like a year or two now, whatever it was. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, like, you know, it's doubtful that those, you know, various wings are all coming together to, you know, form this, you know, megazord of, like, of a game console.
Oh, my goodness.
For this new console. But I really, really hope it is. Like, I want the kind of experience that, you know, Colin and I were talking about. Like, it's, like, you know, where you can start a game on your PlayStation through the, you know, the kind of seamless integration of Gaikai on the back end, like, be able to pick up your, you know, Sony Xperia phone or, like, a PlayStation Mobile, like, enabled phone and, you know, continue it there or at least interact with it in some way. And by association, the Vita, like, I feel like that would be incredible for them and would give them a huge lead. But, you know, at the same time, you think about what Microsoft's doing. They've got, you know, Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, and then now, like, a Windows 8-enabled console, you know, in a kind of like a
and
namesake.
Surface and,
yeah.
So, I mean, no hope that they will do that. Steve-O, Idaho, writes into beyond@IGN.com, and he says, "Hello, Beyond Crew. With Hello. Scott Lowe, my favorite tech editor on this week's podcast, I thought I would bring up the question of PS4 smartphone connectivity. Do you think that Xperia products will have bonuses for PS4 users? No, that's too smart of a decision. That makes too much sense. No,
yeah, but I think we're ignoring, something major in this that." Sony, when they were bleeding money, like just really hurting, they spent almost $400 million to buy Gaikai, and they wouldn't have made that investment if this wasn't the core of what the PS4 is going to be. And it might not be called Gaikai when we see it, but what you have to pay attention to are the words that they say and the products that they're showing you when we see the PS4. And if the whole thing is based around cloud gaming, which it probably could and should be, and ubiquity between the Vita and the PS4 and the PS3 maybe, and then a firmware update, and... you know, other products, the phones and stuff like that, and TVs, I mean, even having the stuff built in, it would surprise me that Gaikai isn't not only integral to the PlayStation, but integral to Sony in terms of what they call it, because they just wouldn't have spent that money at their lowest point when they had no liquidity at all and were shuttering studios and getting rid of entire divisions and laying off tens of thousands of people over the course of the last couple of years. It just seems like an investment they made where they're like, we must have this, and this is how it's going to work, and we need to get on it right now. And you would probably assume that they kept Gaikai together. The company gave them a bunch of PlayStation 4s and Vitas and stuff, and I'm like, you need to make this work.
Yep.
You know? And so I understand where you're coming from, Greg, in the sense that like Sony doesn't seem to learn their lessons, but this could be it. This could be like what I might expect from the Sony conference is something that blows us away, where like they get it. You know, like maybe this is going to work.
But we can't even. The worst part about it is, even if we walk away saying that, we can't believe them. Remember when they announced the Vita? And we're like, fucking get it. And then all of a sudden, nope. The memory cards are the size of your pinky nail, and they cost a gajillion dollars.
So here's something interesting that I just noticed. Like back when Gaikai was acquired, they like redesigned their website, and it was just like this static image of like this like kind of weird blue like wheel thing with like screenshots of like. You know, Metal Gear Rising and all
Uncharted
these like, PlayStation
titles. Yeah.
It's gone now. Like they removed all the images of the games. So I feel like it's one of those situations.
Now it's just Gaikai. We do stuff.
Yeah. So I think you know ultimately that they kind of like blew their wad a little early and put that image out, and like it kind of like showed that was the focus that they were going for.
I mean, Gaikai is also the one thing. I mean, to agree with what Colin's saying, you know. Talking about the Vita, it's always like, oh, well, you know, Microsoft has the Surface and, you know, they have Windows Phone and Smart Glass and all these initiatives and they can even be on your iOS device and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, anytime you talk about something that Sony has, you can usually counter something Microsoft has and sometimes does better. I think it's safe to say, except Gaikai. I think Microsoft does not have that built-in streaming service unless they're going to surprise us all and buy OddLive or whatever, who was just acquired by somebody else. Like, I mean, they don't have anything to compete with that. So I don't think it's necessarily a given, and I don't think it'll definitely happen, but if it did, if Sony was smart enough to integrate Gaikai in that awesome way that you're describing, like, I think that would make them really competitive.
Yeah.
But it is an if.
Yeah, it is an if. Just because what comes to my mind, too, is Sony always seems to have these great ideas. I mean, crossplay was something that was big with Vita and PS3, and they were playing Killzone 3, for instance, on it. Like, none of these things seem to have come to fruition. Like, they just appear and everyone's like, what the hell happened to this?
Yeah.
You know, like Shuhei was playing Killzone 3 on a Vita. But, like, we don't do that. It's
all the gimmicky stuff they always try to do. I mean, remember the GDC presentation when they made a dinosaur appear in the middle of the presentation using a giant AR card? It's like, cool. And, like, now what have we done with AR? It's a bunch of free shitty games. No, not even shitty. They're good. Yeah. I'm sorry. I take it away. But, like, it's the just AR games. No AR one cares. Cards,
yeah.
Hey, I have this handheld, and you know what I want to do? Carry around a bunch of cards in my pocket for... Nope. Don't want to do that at all.
It's just that no one's there, it seems like, telling them. It's the same thing we talked about with marketing last week. Like, no one's there to tell them, like, common sense things that they need to know.
Like, well, it was like what we, you know, what I said in the beginning of the podcast, like, you know, it's these small finite details about user experience that they just totally miss. Like, you know, like, conceptually they always kind of like get sort of near it, but they never really get to the level of polish and like integration and real kind of like, I mean, because they could have done crossplay like really well, like, yeah. You know, with the beginning of, you know, remote play rather, where you can actually like
put that's what I'm talking about, by the way, remote play.
Remote play, like, you know, you can, like, they could have totally nailed that if they had really made the developer like kind of initiative and really encouraged and incentivized people to do it. But like the amount of adoption even from their own studios is so low.
Yeah, it's like Tokyo Jungle.
Yeah.
Isn't it Shadow of the Colossus?
Yeah. Shadow and Nico can do it. Yeah.
And is there even...
I think so those are two games, those are two games from the same studio.
God of War collection.
Yeah. Well, and you know, fundamentally, I mean, I'm not technically savvy enough to really know what the limitations are. But like, you know, what stopped them from baking it in from a console level? Like, why couldn't the PlayStation 3 just, you know, remote stream all of whatever you're playing on that, you know, to that device? Like, why wasn't it?
And wasn't this also a PSP feature that was underutilized?
Yeah.
So it's like
that's why it was never exciting when they're like Vita remote play. I'm like, that ran like shit on PSP. Why would I care now?
And
they're like, oh, nobody cares about this.
It seems like the PS3 has been built with specific limitations that they can't get around. I remember when we were talking to Shuhei. I think it was on Podcast Beyond when we talked to him about, like, there were certain things that they just can't do. Like, they can't do certain things. Yeah. Like, no matter, like, and I can't remember what it was specifically we were complaining about, but
it was trophies. It was viewing Vita trophies from the PS3.
Oh, yeah. And that's finally available. And it's like, that was such a huge deal for them to even do that. It seemed like something that was so easy. It's like, why can't I see Vita trophies from the PS3? Why is that hard?
Yeah.
I don't understand, and it's because. So what I'm excited about is that PS3 was built, came out in 2006, was probably built in 2004, and you know 2005 they iterated on it, and now that they have the Vita and they know what they're doing, hopefully this thing is built from the get go to be as customizable as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But that would require them learning.
they can't make a rigid piece of hardware anymore because the things they have to know that they have to even know that. I've said this before, and I'm not sure like how you know. It reminds me a little bit of like the N64 with the expansion pack and stuff like that. But it would be interesting to see, even release hardware where like you can – there's slots for you to put new things into it in the future. Then they'll release, you know, more RAM or whatever they have to release to make new games run in 2015.
You mean like a PC?
Yeah. No, exactly. But you're exactly right. I mean, that's why Gabe Newell was just talking about that this week. Like, he talked about the fact that Steambox's business model is good, better, and best. And the good one is either going to be free or like $50. And that's something you'll have in your house where it just streams from your PC. And kind of the better model, the middle model, is a console form factor PC, and Valve's going to be making their own. And you can bet your ass it's going to be customizable in every way possible. Like, I mean, I'm sure you'll be able to add in, like,
but
at the very least, you can swap out hard drives and simple things like that, add more RAM to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think more than any time before. What?
What's the best connection?
Best is like the current PC model where, like, if you want to spend $4,000, you can
get
a top line thing.
Yeah, it's totally open-ended. But, I mean, like, if you think about what we know about these new consoles in terms of, like, what's going on underneath, like, these are more like, you know, compact PCs than ever before. Like, it's not proprietary formats. They're in, like, of course, it's specialized hardware, but it's all based on, like, consumer-level stuff. So, like, you know, in a way, like, the scalability of, like, adding, like, you know, refreshing the hardware down the line and not breaking everything that came before it is easier than ever because it is hardware that is based, like, you know, on kind of consumer-level stuff that is kind of like a standardized format. And more importantly, that both consoles are running on the same architecture pretty much. Like, I mean, obviously, there's, you know, performance, you know, differences and, you know, but at the same time, they're both running on the same architecture from the same manufacturer, from AMD.
Right.
So, like, so the capacity for, like, 5 years from now to be, like, you know, the PlayStation 4 and a half, like, is closer, not necessarily a good strategy, but, like, it's possible. So, like, there is the capacity for kind of, you know, mid-cycle refreshes that, you know, give more functionality, more performance, without, you know, kind of breaking everything that came before it.
It's also breaking away from that stigma of, like, right now, like, their games, like, the inferior version is on PS3, and people know that. And it's not always, it's not like it happens every time, but there are some games where that is absolutely the case. And I think moving off of Cell and adding more RAM and being competitive in that technical space will be huge for Sony.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, I feel like we've been hating on Sony like for a bulk of this podcast, but I mean, I would like
to
say
that.
They
fuck up a
lot. But I think, you know, what, it's important to know, like, well, obviously I know that about you guys. You guys, like, love Sony, but, like, you know, I really care about Sony. I want Sony to succeed. Like, I've always, you know, I grew up with Sony products. Like, I, you know, PlayStation was always, like, my go-to console. Like, I say all this stuff because I want Sony to improve.
Right,
like,
yeah, that's the whole reason we're hard on it. Yeah. If we didn't care, it would be how we talk about Nintendo. We're just like, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, when people accuse me of just hating on Nintendo because, like, that's true. I do hate Nintendo. But, like, with PlayStation, I actually care what they're doing. I'm kidding, of course. But, like, I do want all of them to succeed. But, no, Sony, I think, has a lot of potential, more so than any other company on the market. And I feel like they can do it if they just put their minds to it.
Quick tangent. I talked to Shuhei at DICE. I promised I would point out the fact he believes that you guys are a little too hard on Wonder Book because you're not the target audience.
Oh, sure.
Because you don't have kids. You don't.
We know that. But Shuhei, you know us, and you know that haters are going
to
hate.
I think it goes back to the same thing. It's not that I platinum Wonder Book and I had a fine time with it. It was like whatever. Yeah. And I was talking to Colin Campbell today. He played it over Christmas and his kids loved it. And what I really rip on Wonder Book about is nothing to do with what it is or the tech. It's the how mismanaged that was.
Yeah, the E3 demo was the worst.
We always say, right, whenever I talk about Wonder Book, I'm like, you could have cut a 2-minute trailer that you put into that E3 press conference instead of the whole demonstration. That would
JK's
have
note.
Gone exactly.
That was the best.
They read a note from JK. No one could have sent a camera to her house to get a video message. It was a note, and like the trailer, all it had to be was just, you know, from the mind that brought you Harry Potter and the studio that's brought you games like, or you know, the brand that's brought you games like Uncharted and God of War. Well, I guess you want to skew Kitty, but whatever.
Right.
And then you just show this hodgepodge reel of a kid making the dragons fly and throwing fireballs and all this other stuff, and it's Wonder Book, Book of Spells, and that's all it is, and it's great, and you're done.
I'm just passing along a message.
No, I'm just telling it. And then the next part was, I was talking to somebody about Wonder Book. They're like, oh, you platinumed it, and it was terrible. I was like, oh, it wasn't terrible. It was a fine game. They're like, great. What other games are out for that?
Oh, that was
nothing.
Me. That was me.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's still nothing out. They showed the Walking with Dinosaurs game. They showed another game about the books, and none of these are out. It's like, why do you keep launching hardware, and I put hardware in quotes because it's just a book, obviously, but all these different things and platforms and then not supporting them.
Greg's totally right, you know, in the sense that when we were at E3, we were notorious haters of not the product, but of the way it just absolutely obliterated that press conference. And what was really disappointing about it was that press conference was fucking awesome until that point.
It was murdering.
I was like, I can't believe, we were on Twitter, like, I can't believe that this is like, they're really,
we were
really killing
it
here. And then they're like, oh, Wonder Book for 20 minutes, and then we'll show you two games you already know about. You know, it's like, and the Last of Us demo was awesome. That was like an amazing, one of the best demos I've ever seen in person. But
it all comes back to like brand identity. Like, you know, something like a Wonder Book on any other platform with J.K. Rowling like attached, like that is like shitting gold money right there. Like you could just
gold like, money, not gold just money, but it's gold
and
it's
still
money.
Could have been. It could have been, but the problem is no parent is going to be like, you know, I'm going to go spend all this money to, you know, get a PlayStation 3 and, you know, the Move, you know, set up, and then the Wonder Book, and so that my kids can play this game. Like, it, and anyone who doesn't already have that system isn't going to buy it. So, like, you're looking at, like, a situation where, you know, Sony's, like, true, like, kind of alignment to the hardcore gamer is bitting them in the ass. Like, they can't, like, you know, appeal
it's
to that market.
It's a fraction of a fraction.
Because there's no way anyone's going to be like, I'm going to go buy this thing with this, like, really dark and edgy advertising and brand identity. Like, you know, like, Sony's whole, like, ad campaign from launch day, you know, was just, like, this, like, really, like, gritty, like, you know, all the stuff with, like, the black goo that just, like, you know, like, creates monsters out of things. Like, you know, but I mean, like, it's always, it's kind of toned down, but it's very, very much, very, like, kind of mature and, like, you know, aimed at more of an adult audience. And like, yeah, maybe they're picking their battles, but they can't expect something like the Wonder Book to be successful when that is the entire basis of your entire platform leading up to that point.
I mean, it's still one of those things I always talk about, right, that I could never walk my mom through setting up a PS3.
Oh,
as
yeah.
much as I know about a PS3, like, that would be a nightmare knowing my mom. My mom's a smart, a hip chick. She's got an iPhone, all that jazz. But like, when she bought a Wii, it was like, you'll be fine. You're going to totally be fine. In a PS3, it's like, all right, now scroll through the XMB. It means cross-media bar. It's the main menu. Do you have auto disc start off? Because if it's on right now, you're in a game probably. Hold it. Hold on. Hold down the PlayStation button.
Hit quick game.
Hold on.
No, it's under that
you
tab.
You held it down too long. Just tap it. Tap it. Okay, good.
Now get out of printer settings.
But the thing is,
why are there printer settings?
It's funny though because
printer settings.
That's a problem of this gen that I don't think is exclusive to Sony. Like the messaging in general. Like my mom was like, "Oh, the Kinect looks awesome. I'm going to buy one." And she bought one, and she doesn't have an Xbox 360. And it's like,
oh, that's funny.
Like shit like that isn't communicated well at all this gen. And I think it's probably the same thing with Wonderbook. I think if I saw a commercial for Wonderbook and I was a dad, I would be like, "Oh, that's rad," and I would go buy it.
You'd you'd get it home, and you'd unbox it, and there'd be a wand and the little half controller, and then another controller in there. None of these charged, mind you. Yep. That you can only charge off the system when it's on. It's only got two USB ports though, so you can't just be charging left and right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and then Wii U, I think, has the same problem that, like, people don't necessarily understand that it's not a controller for the Wii, that it's a whole new system. I mean, it's just like, marketing is hard. It really it is.
Yeah, marketing is real hard. Yeah.
And you have to get your messaging out there and do it right. And I think, you know, that question that I think spurred on this whole ridiculous tangent of a conversation.
Yeah, we've been talking forever about one question.
Like, what does Sony have to do to get it right? The answer to that is marketing.
I agree.
Whatever the thrust of that system is, whatever their key messaging is, get it out there and make it clear. Because that's kind of, I think you're 100% right that brand identity is kind of Sony's biggest problem.
Yeah. And well, interestingly, like this might be a little inside baseball, but I'm not sure if you saw this news like earlier this month was that they ditched their advertising or creative agency Deutsch in favor of BBH, which you know would seem like a good decision, but then you look at like what BBH represents, and it's like Johnny Walker and Audi and like all of these like really mature focused brands. It's like, are you guys falling into the same pitfalls again? But well, you know,
see,
well,
unless they commit to that message and do it right.
That's the whole point. This all goes back to the debut of the move, which is an old, I know, dead horse I beat all the time here, is when they should have come
beat the shit out of it.
They came out of GDC and they're like, here's the PlayStation move. They should have said, that shouldn't have happened. They should have come out and said, we're the console for gamers. Yeah. And we keep talking about in GameScoops and IGN videos and yada, 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 that this might be, this has the best chance of being the final console life cycle, right? The people who are going to buy this are the hardcore gamers who love games. You need to come out and say, we are games. That's what we do. We know we fucked up in the past with Wonderbook and all these other things. And we're not saying that there won't be experiences for kids and families and blah, 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 blah. But we're here to talk to you about games. Here's Killzone 4. Here's Gran Turismo. Here's Uncharted. Here's everything else going down the line of just awesome, awesome games. And this is why you need to come by it.
But if they're going to do that, but if they're going to do that, they have to accept that they're never going to compete with Microsoft again, because Microsoft is 100% about appealing to everyone.
Yep.
And so, you know, they can own the games market, and that would be amazing. They just have to make sure their expectations are aligned with that.
I mean, exactly. If you lower your expectations on what you're going to do, but I think you look at PlayStation Move, right, and they're like, the Wii is killing right now. We are going to get in on this casual business, and we're going to kill too. And no, you didn't.
No, I think they could have it both ways, though, just in the sense that if Sony marketed the PlayStation 4 and positioned it at E3 and stuff like that, I'd be like, yeah, of course the PlayStation 4 plays Netflix. Of course you're going to have access to NFL games. Of course it's going to do all these things. It does all that. It's going to do all that stuff. By the way, we own all of these studios that our competitors don't own, and they make great games. So if you want, you know, if you want all of those great ubiquitous experiences, you want Hulu, you want Amazon, that's of course that's going to be on there. You play that on your PlayStation 3, of course it's going to be on the PS4, and we're going to have more. By the way, here's what all of our studios that we paid millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars for, that we make them make all these games that no one buys. By the way, they actually make games, and here they are.
Yes.
You know, I don't think the marketing gamut is actually that difficult. Like, I really don't. I think it's...
But it's about targeting. That's what we're talking about.
Right. No, that's exactly right. But, you know, positioning PlayStation 4 from the outset of making it inherent that it does all the things you want it to do, and then positioning it as a games machine is, I think, the smart way. It requires a little bit of that old Sony bravado, you know, but well-directed bravado, not the bravado that asks you to pay $600 for a console or that you'll get a second job to buy it, which is the shit that burned the PlayStation 3 to the ground for 3 years. But the bravado that says, we're Sony, we made, like Greg said, we have to admit that we made some mistakes. We're not going to have motion controls anymore, for instance. You know, like, we're getting rid of the PlayStation Move. We have all our studios focusing on core games that you care about. And I think a level of candor would be awesome, too, to be like, we feel like our studios make the best games. We feel like we have the best studio in the industry with Naughty Dog, and we think that those games don't sell well enough.
Yeah.
You know? And so we're going to show you why you should buy these games.
But you and I talked about this before, like, the answer is exactly that, games. I mean, like, you remember that we were just talking about it, our podcast Beyond with Shuhei, and we were like, oh, man, like, I wish you guys had talked about Vita games during that conference. And he was like, oh, well, we thought people would, like, understand that those are on the floor. And it's like, that is a major, like, just talk about games. That's all people want to see at the end of the day, is just games, games, games. Because you're right, like, the productivity stuff is awesome. But at this point, like, it would be a bigger story if it did not have Netflix or did not have, you know, Vudu or whatever, like, weird services they're offering.
I mean, Netflix mentioned at this PlayStation conference better just be, and it has a million other services like Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah, exactly. Like, at most. Yeah, I mean, like, I totally agree. Focus on games is the answer because Microsoft won't be, right? Again, we're talking about differentiating. Microsoft will be showing off all of their DVR features and all of, like, the crazy Illuma Room and all the stuff that they're doing to make it more of, like, an entertainment thing. Like, not even the entertainment itself, but the system is a gateway to entertainment. Whereas Sony can say, we're a gateway to games. You know, like, we have those entertainment experiences and they're just as good, but, like, we are the system you buy.
It's one of those things
games.
That they're a game. It's a gamble, right? I think if you say, come on, you make it that we are all about games, you're gambling, but I think you have a better chance at winning than if you come out and be like, we're the entertainment. If you say in that fucking thing that you're the entertainment hub, Microsoft's beating you to the punch.
Exactly.
You guys started that. Peter Dilly was the one I remember saying it all the time. And while you guys were talking about it, it happened with Microsoft. So now we got it. It's like we always talk about. You got to admit when you lose something.
I don't think they can, though, because they have that investment of all of those, like, content. You know,
but they're still there,
brands,
and you,
like,
still get to say that it does all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's important to focus on the intricacies and not what's inherent. And as long as they can successfully position the PlayStation 4, whether at this conference that Scott and I will be at or at E3, just to say, like, just to not, I don't want to say blow it off or act like it's not important, but just say, like, of course it does that, you know?
Yeah.
Because this is the fucking PlayStation 4, and look at how crazy powerful it is. You know?
Crazy powerful.
And look at how ubiquitous it is with the Vita, and look how it deals with your mobile phones, and look how it does all these things. Of course we can do all this great stuff, but we have games. You know, and maybe take some shots at your competitors and say that they don't, you know, maybe they don't have games,
right.
You know, like I just, to me, it's, I agree that it's a gambit, but gaming is what's going to win PlayStation. Gaming is what won PlayStation, and gaming, you can look at the DVD player all you want with PS2, but games sold like fucking hotcakes on the PlayStation 2. There's nothing even remotely that is remotely sold as well as the best PlayStation 2 games on the PS3 because it didn't sell as well. that's not that OG of a joint. I did that like 2 weeks ago.
Nah,
I don't know. I mean, we're going to have answers to these questions in
hopefully
9
sooner
days.
Rather than later.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond episode 280. Remember, Podcast Beyond posts every Tuesday on your favorite podcast server. But please, when you're done listening, come over to IGN.com, read some articles, watch some videos, go to Gold Farm's My IGN page, and just talk all the shit you want.
People do a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, oh, cool, I have a notification. It's like, that article sucked. I'm like, oh, thanks.
Welcome
thanks,
to the internet. If you want to talk to us more than even that, follow us all on Twitter. IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Ryan is Pwam Cider.
Yep.
No Taxation is Colin Moriarty. Garfep is Andrew Goldfarb.
Yep.
Scott Lowe is Scott Lowe.
I am Batman.
I was getting confused. One? You know what? Before you say take me home.
Scott IGN.
I was getting confused when you do the like you say, Pwam Cider is Ryan Clements.
And I go,
like,
no time.
Because it's like, because I'm, because it's not me. I'm it. You know what I mean?
Are you positive?
That's like saying, well, okay, this doesn't work as
it's
well.
A character.
I was going to say, that's like saying Batman is Bruce Wayne, but that does kind of work.
The Dark Knight is Batman. It's a known moniker. It's a publicized moniker. It needs to be addressed.
Scott, what do you do for
Ryan?
Well, I don't like it one bit.
From now on, I'll just leave you off at the end when I give out Twitter handles. I won't even
Thanks,
say it. I'll let there be like a 5-second pause. I'll be like, I'm Game Over Greggy. No Taxation is Colin Moriarty. All right, Ryan, take me home.
Okay, sounds good. We end every show with a song. I was trying to make Greg laugh. But
you just made me angry. Chuckle.
I know, I'm so angry. We end every show with a song, so please send us your musical submissions to beyond@ign.com, just like Jake did. This is what Jake has to say.
Sup, Jake.
Hey. Beyond, I would like to submit my girlfriend Ashley Hutchinson's original song titled Human to Podcast Beyond. She's just starting her musical career, but I think her work speaks for itself. Playing her song would be such a wonderful surprise for her. Thanks for the help and the listen, guys. Beyond, from a big fan, Jake. Jake, I would be delighted to play Ashley's song. I gave it a listen, and it's very sweet. I thought it was really nice. So I will now share it with the rest of the Beyond community. And we will all see you on the other side of the world when Colin and Scott and all the video guys go and see the
other side of the country, not the world.
It might as well be.
I mean, you know, it's all the same. Beyond.
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 I am so far from my home. And I don't know where else. just answer me. What is a human? Is there a definition? Are you born or can you learn it? Or am I the only one? Is this really human? Is this really
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season 1 was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.